Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from Matthew chapter 12. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, Who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and said, Behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, and sister, and mother. Now I think we all place a great deal of importance on kinship. We appreciate our kinfolks for the most part. Usually we're very proud, especially of our ancestors, and of course of our children. And we're proud that we have our kinfolk. We go to family reunions and we rejoice in being in their company. But of course, as much as we love our earthly kin, even they are not to come before our loyalty to the Lord, dear friend. And there be people sometimes who will refuse and postpone and even neglect their obedience to God because it does not please some of their kinfolks. Well, in this event in the life of Christ, he shows that spiritual kinship is far more important than a physical kinship. He was not in any way being disrespectful to Mary, his mother. He wasn't being disrespectful to his brothers. But he was simply giving emphasis to the spiritual kinship with himself. One of the religious problems that the Jews had in the days of Jesus was their heavy dependence upon their physical relationship with Abraham. John the Baptist preached to them, and he said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Matthew chapter 3. I heard one time an older preacher comment he didn't like to boast too much about his family tree because he was afraid if he went too far he might find a rotten limb. Well, there might be a rotten limb or a black sheep or something like that among our kin, but for the most part, people are very proud of their family. Now, it's a great blessing and opportunity for mankind that we can be kin to Jesus Christ. In this, we can rejoice. We can not only be kin to Christ, but kin to all of those who are in Christ as brothers and sisters in the Lord. Just how can we be kin to Christ? Well, our kinship is not a physical one, of course. It is spiritual in nature. It's a relationship, however, that is superior to any fleshly relationship that we could possibly have. Now, there are certain similarities between a physical kinship and spiritual kinship, and we'll take note of some of these similarities. How are people related today physically? When do they count one as kinfolk? And how do they enter into that kind of relationship? Well, isn't it obvious that people are born into the same family? We are kin to our parents and our brothers and our sisters as a result of a birth into the family. And this same thing, friend, is true of the spiritual family of God, which is his church, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Jesus said, Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. John 3, verse 3 and 5. Now the kingdom is the same as the Lord's church, Colossians 1:13. and the church is God's family. We can't be related to Christ, friend, outside of God's family. Our relationship to Christ is in the church. Now, the new birth is not difficult to understand. It's not something that's weird. It's not something that's mysterious. Before one is born, he is begotten. And Paul teaches that spiritually we are begotten by the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 15. One of the reasons the commission of Christ to go into all the world and preach the gospel, the reason that's so vital, is because it is by the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, Luke 8:11, that must be planted in the hearts and the minds of honest and sincere people. And from that Word, faith is produced, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh of hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And from faith comes obedience to the commands that God has given. And by our obedience to those commands, we are born into His family. We thereby become spiritually related to God the Father and to Christ His Son. Now, people cannot be saved through the message of psychology or through the philosophies and doctrines of men, not through social reforms and all of the various and sundry denominational dogmas and the claims of clergymen. The gospel is the power of God to save, Romans 1:16. Jesus said that those who are His relatives are those who shall do the will of my Father. That will is the gospel, and it teaches us to believe in Christ, to repent of our sins, to confess our faith in Christ, to be baptized for the remission of sins. It is by and through the gospel that it's possible for us to enjoy a spiritual kinship with Christ and the other redeemed. But again, families are obviously related through a blood relationship. We come from our parents, and therefore we are related. Now, this blood link ties us together with our parents and with our brothers and with our sisters and others in our family. And this new thing of the DNA, that sort of proves and verifies that scientifically, doesn't it? So it is that the blood of Christ links us to Him spiritually, inasmuch as we are saved by His shed blood, Romans chapter 5. It's by His blood He purchased the church, friend, Acts 20, verse 28. And we have been bought with a great and precious price, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20. And as Christians are still cleansed by the blood of Christ once they come into Christ, 1 John 1, 6 and 7. Too many members of the church possibly speak of the church as if it was something separate and distinct from themselves. The truth is, the church is made up of people. The truth is, we're members of His body. That's what the church is, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. And His blood is a benefit to those in the body, as is true physically as well as spiritually. Blood in the body is what cleanses and feeds the body. We're to realize that we're in that body, that spiritual body, and we're related to all others in that body because of a blood relationship. But again, we see that people are known to belong to their family not only because of birth and not only because of blood ties, but because of the name that they wear. Most of us are proud of our name. We wear it with distinction. We wear it with significance. We're known by that name. We're called by that name. We're identified by that name as we belong to a certain family because we wear the same name. Now, the family of God wears a name that was given to it by the Father. Acts 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now, this name enjoyed apostolic approval. The apostles referred to it. In Acts chapter 26, after the apostle Paul preached, it was said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Peter said, "If any man suffer as a Christian." Now the name that we wear, James says, is a worthy name, James 2:7. And it was prophesied in the Old Testament that when both Jew and Gentile were included in God's spiritual family, God will give them a name, Isaiah 62 and verse 2. Now the name Christian, that's a sacred name. It honors Christ. There's just no reason, in fact, there's no justification for those who claim to be in God's family to take upon themselves religious names that have been originated from some other source than God. A name shows our relationship. What are you religiously? And many people simply have some kind of denominational name that you never find anywhere in the Bible. Now, this family is not only kin to Christ and to each other, but it possesses a family characteristic of brotherly love. We sing the song, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Bind us together with love." We have love for our Father. We have love for our elder brother, Jesus Christ. We have love for the whole brotherhood. Let love of the brethren continue, Hebrews 13:1. Peter said, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God and honor the King." Love is a family characteristic. And nothing is more essential to a successful congregation than brotherly love. Where genuine love abounds for each other, the difficulties and problems that inevitably will arise will be resolved. We always seek the other's highest good. That's the true meaning of love. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another," John 13, verse 34 and 35. And again, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you," John 15:12. Now this is the way it's supposed to be in God's family and among our spiritual kin. But another characteristic we mentioned before we close that shows our kinship with Christ is by our communion, our fellowship, our oneness. Something is wrong in a family when members of the family deliberately absent themselves from gatherings of the family. And something is amiss when the family circle is deliberately broken. Something is lacking when members of the family fail to appear around the family table or be involved in family activities. Now, many members of the church sometimes contribute to the breaking of family ties because they deliberately absent themselves from being around the Father's table on Lord's Day. They have little to do with the activities of the family, with the worship, with the work of the church. They exclude from their lives the fellowship of brethren, which is designed to be helpful to everyone. Now God has appointed a time for His children to assemble. Each Lord's Day, the early Christians met together to partake of the Lord's Supper. We commune one with the other. We are associating one with the other. We have fellowship one with the other. And when members of the family ignore or set aside this communion and this gathering together, something is wrong with their family relationship. Yes, the communion shows our kinship with God. It shows our kinship with Christ. And it shows our kinship with our brethren. Now, some, of course, choose to remain children of the devil, and they rather not be children of God. But we can be sons and daughters of God. If we will obey the gospel of Christ, God will add us to that company that's called the church, that company that includes the saved, and we will be in the family of God. Won't you become a brother or sister to Christ and to the redeemed? This has been A Burning Fire. Until next time.